everyone. Welcome to Back Porch Bluegrass. I'm your host, Paul Trenwith, and I hope you'll stick around for the next hour to listen to the show that I've got lined up for you. We have a really interesting guest on today's show. It's Colleen Trenwith, recently returned from her work in East Tennessee State University, where she was teaching fiddle. She was a senior lecturer in bluegrass fiddle, and we'll be talking to her and asking some penetrating questions today, and I'm sure you'll enjoy her responses to some of the questions that I had lined up for her. We'll get right on with the show. Many of you will have listened to last week's show, and where I played a tribute to Tony Rice. Well, there just wasn't the opportunity in one show to play a tribute to Tony Rice's music. There's so much music there, and I think we'll be hearing quite a bit more from him in the next few weeks. But here's a tune from the Bluegrass Album Band Volume 1. I'm playing it in memory of Tony Rice, who died on Christmas Day 2020. And here he is with the Bluegrass Album Band with the song I'm On My Way Back to the Old Home. Hope you enjoy this. Just superb bluegrass music. We'll be talking about that in the interview with Colleen, that the influence that the Bluegrass Album Band had on today's young players who are learning to play bluegrass. But many people think the Bluegrass Album Band wrote the book on bluegrass. Well, the material was there, but they just really brought it back to a newly invigorated life, and they played some great music. Many of you will have wondered why on the tribute show to Tony Rice I didn't play something from Skaggs and Rice, which is reported to be one of the best-selling albums of all time in the bluegrass genre. It's their album just Skaggs and Rice, where they're doing duets with guitar, mandolin and two voices. I'm going to play a track now, the track called Bury Me Beneath the Willow. It's all called... often call other things as well, but Bury Me Beneath the Willow, their version is superb. Tony Rice, Ricky Skaggs.
My heart is sad and I am lonely, for her own, oh, never till we meet in heaven above. Oh, bury me beneath the willow, under the weeping willow tree, so she will know where I am sleeping, and perhaps she'll weep for me. She told me that she dearly loved me. How could I believe it untrue? Until the angel softly whispered, she will prove to you. Oh, bury me beneath the willow, under the weeping willow tree, so she will know where I am sleeping, and perhaps she'll weep for me. She's out a courting with another and no longer cares for me. Oh, bury me beneath the willow, under the weeping willow tree, so she will know where I am sleeping, and perhaps you'll weep for me.
Yeah, that's just great music from Tony Wright's Ricky Skaggs, Bury Me Beneath the Willow. Well, coming up, stay around because we've got the interview with Colleen Trenwith coming up. But in the meantime, I thought I'd play a track from one of the young bands that's come out from the East Tennessee State University, and that's a band called Carolina Blue. Features Timmy Jones on mandolin and vocals, Bobby Powell on guitar and vocals, Ainsley Porchak on fiddle, and James McDowell on banjo and vocals, and Reese Combs on bass and vocals. And they're playing some pretty high energy bluegrass music, some they've written themselves and some from other people, but we're going to hear a tune from them called, what's it called? We're going to hear a tune from them called Grown Cold. Here comes Carolina Blue.
The autumn breeze brings with it a chill. Outside my door, the world is slowly dying. Inside my door, the cold is just as real. She made up her mind that it was over, but she ain't had the heart to tell me so. These are the most burned hot, is only ashes. It's turned into a love grown cold. From this fate that is a love grown cold. she always keeps her distance. She keeps me second guessing all the time. Should I give up or should I keep on trying? The way she's treating me seems like a crime. The saddest part, we used to be so happy. It doesn't seem so very long ago. A love that we once vowed would last forever quickly turned into a love grown cold. Grown cold. The flames that burned to embers, the embers turned to cinders. I thought that you and I fit like a glove. Grown cold. Just going through the motions, I'd swim across the oceans to save us from this fate that is alive.
That's a young band from Tennessee called Carolina Blue and their song called Grown Cold. You're listening to Back Porch Bluegrass. I'm your host, Paul Trenwith, and playing you some of the music that I love. We've got an interview with Colleen Trenwith coming up, so don't go anywhere. Back Porch Bluegrass is sponsored by Shearer's Music Works in Hamilton, New Zealand. The show comes from Hamilton, New Zealand, and Shearer's Music Works have been meeting the needs of musicians throughout Hamilton and the wider Waikato area for more than 50 years, and if you go in there you'll be surrounded by Martin guitars and Deering banjos and ukuleles of all size and colour and number of strings and mandolins and fiddles and drum kits and keyboards, and you can go there for any of your musical needs. All the music staff are very helpful musicians. They know the sort of thing that you want, and you'll always be able to meet some musical needs at Shearer's. I'm delighted that they're sponsoring Back Porch Bluegrass. What's happening? We've got Kiwigrass coming up soon, on the first weekend in February. If you go online, you'll be able to just type in Kiwigrass 2021 and you'll find the webpage. You can get tickets, and there's a lot of live music coming up there from the Friday evening through Saturday and Sunday. There'll be some great live music from New Zealand bands all over. Pippi Pickers will be there. You, me, everybody will be there. Hamilton County Bluegrass Band will be there. Melling Station Boys will be there. Wires and Wood from Auckland will be there. Lots of people will be coming to play, and join in with us and have a great time. We've got an interview with Colleen Trenwith coming up, so I thought I'd play one of my favourite tunes that she played with Hamilton County Bluegrass Band, and that's from our Encore album, recorded in 1997 in Rotorua with Noel Lamberton as the engineer. And the album was called Encore. The band was Colleen on fiddle, myself on banjo, Alan Rhodes on guitar, David Calder on mandolin, and Jeremy Trenwith on bass. We all did some singing, and this is a Kenny Baker tune called The Cross-Eyed Fiddler, and it's one of my favourites. Enjoy it. Well, I'm delighted to have with me in the studio Colleen Trenwith, who has returned from her stint at, oh, I guess it was more than a stint really, at East Tennessee State University, where she was a lecturer in bluegrass fiddle from 2012 to 2020. We're delighted to have you back with Back Porch Bluegrass, Colleen.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here again. I've been looking forward to being back in New Zealand.
Well, you've picked the right time to come back. The USA is having a pretty hard time with the COVID-19 pandemic, and New Zealand has fortunately survived it pretty well, really.
Oh, yes, and New Zealand is highly regarded around the world for that very fact. And, the New Zealand Prime Minister especially is very, very respected and highly regarded. In the political scene as well.
That's great. Did your particular area of Tennessee get hard hit or stay out of it?
Well, where I was the northernmost corner of Tennessee, and often regarded as a very safe place tucked away in the mountains there that seems to miss the worst of the cyclones, hurricanes, snowstorms, and we seem to miss this COVID-19 outbreak as well for a good long time. And most people I knew didn't know anybody personally who had actually caught it, but it's a different case today. Few months, it's become closer to home for people, because I think everyone now knows someone who's got
it.
Wow.
Yeah. That's tough. That's tough. Well, we're delighted that you're back in New Zealand. But when people ask what you were you doing in East Tennessee, and we describe the job of lecturer in bluegrass fiddle, people think that's a dream job. Is it really a dream job?
Well, it was for a good long time. And I was teaching students at university age training them up to be in a performing band, and also teaching fiddle and at all levels. So
wow.
I had beginners, and I had a couple of the very basic bands, but I also taught two or three of the top bands. So it was challenging for me, but really doing what I love to do.
Yes.
In the classroom, working out arrangements of songs, which I've always loved to do, and working out the chords, and also making really close friendships with the students of university age. I'd always taught younger children, school-aged children, up until I left New Zealand, and it was a different dynamic teaching students, because they were kind of almost at your level intellectually, and some of them way past me actually, to be honest. But and you end up becoming very close in a year of teaching, and then it's very sad to see them go at the end of their 4 years, and I've kept in touch with a lot of them.
Well, that's great. I can imagine that everyone in the band of university age students, and let's face it, that's what we were when we started playing Hamilton County.
Exactly.
Every member of the band brings something different to the band, and brings in a skill or a chosen direction, and to meld them into a five-piece or six-piece band must be a real challenge. Was that your role, or did you just sort of were you the chairman of the committee, so to speak?
I considered myself a coach, because I thought it through very early on. A lot of the students that came in were way better than me on fiddle, and and certainly on the other instruments as well. So a basketball coach doesn't have to be better at his team, at members at playing basketball. So I thought of it like that, that I was melding them, a disparate group of students that often had never met each other before. In some cases, they came in already as friends, but also maybe people from different countries.
Oh, you had some overseas students as well.
Yeah, we had Japanese and Norwegian and Canadian and several different. We had two from Iran.
Wow.
Who came in because they loved country music and they weren't allowed to play country music in their own home. And,
wow.
You can imagine it was challenging and but a wonderful experience.
So when you had a class of students coming and you were going to take the band, and let's say the band was called
Bluegrass Firelight.
Bluegrass Firelight, and you had a class scheduled. Did you have a curriculum or did you have a program? Like when you went into that class, did you know what you were going to be working on that day?
Not initially. That developed as the semester went on, as I drew from the knowledge and experience of the students themselves, for material.
Yes.
And I'd usually try and find songs that they knew already, so at least each student could bring one new song to the program, and then the rest of the students would add their ideas, and that's basically how it worked. But as we went on and were practicing up for specific performances that were coming up, then definitely we had a definite schedule each week that fitted in with that goal.
Did you all kick off with an instrumental just to warm up and then do an unaccompanied vocal tune
usually,
to warm?
Okay. Usually. Yeah, I'd usually say to the banjo player, how about playing something in G?
Yeah. and you found a banjo player who could play something in G?
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, they were all listening to their heroes, which is usually the Bluegrass Album Band.
Yes.
And if a banjo player or if a fiddle player went to start a tune that normally a banjo player on the Bluegrass Album Band would start, they'd receive horrified looks.
Oh no.
Yeah, because the album band tunes, they always start the same. And
okay, well, you have here an album with a picture of a young man that I've met, and an absolutely delightful young man, Aaron Frosty Foster, and the album's called Opening Doors. Would you like to talk about that, and then we'll play a tune?
Okay, well, this album, I chose this to start with because it has significance on several levels. Frosty became just such a close friend to me. He was one of the most delightful students we had, and he just couldn't leave. We could not get him to leave. He had a university program that was supposed to take 4 years took him 8 years, and he just loved it. But he did have problems with his finding the classes that fit in with his program so that he actually could complete a degree.
Okay.
And he got stuck on having to learn a foreign language.
Serve him right.
So it was it was French. But he was in, from day one, he was in one of my bands every semester.
Wow.
And he was just delightful, really reliable, and whenever I sent a text round saying, can you guys play at this event in 2 weeks' time, he would always be the first to reply, yes, I'm in.
Okay, great.
And so this track is a well-known bluegrass song, standard, I Wonder Where You Are Tonight. And it features, one of its features is a good friend of his, Ainsley Porchak, fiddle player, who was Canada's master fiddle champion for several years, and America master fiddle champion as well. So you'd imagine how challenging it was to take her on in a band, but she was just amazing. And so she and I are actually playing twin fiddles in this one. And all of the other members of the band that are playing, apart from Adam Steffi is playing mandolin.
And he was one of the lecturers at the college too?
Yes. He was for a period, and he was also IBMA mandolin, yes, award winner for several years, about 11 years I think.
Yes.
And the rest of the band are all students.
Okay. Yeah. And Frosty is singing lead and playing guitar.
Yes, he sings lead on this. When he first came into the program, he'd never ever sung before.
Oh, neat.
And so we worked with him with his lead singing, and he ended up being quite a good tenor singer as well.
Right.
So I wonder where you are tonight.
Let's hear it.
I'm wondering if I'm wrong or right to dream about you though you left me. I wonder where you are tonight. Well, that rain is cold and slowly falling upon my window pane tonight. And though your love was even colder, I wonder where you are tonight. Often said you care. Now you have gone and found another, someone who knows the love we share. Well, that rain is cold and slowly falling upon my window pane tonight. And though your love was even colder, I wonder where you are tonight. On the day you left me, well, I tried not to cry with all my might. Though you could see the pain within me that lingers in my heart tonight. Well, that rain is cold and slowly falling upon my window pane tonight. And though your love is even colder, I wonder where you are tonight. Upon my window pane tonight. And though your love is even colder, I wonder where you are tonight. Yes, I wonder where you are tonight.
Well, that was great and just absolutely lovely to hear. And it brought back a lot of memories because Frosty played guitar for us when we played at the 2013 IBMA,
yes,
International section. Yeah, so it's just great to hear him, and he's doing fine.
He's doing really well.
Yeah. Mm. We'll hear another track from there soon.
Okay.
It just occurred to me while they were playing, How are the students marked, or how do they qualify, or how do they come out with a passing mark or a not passing mark from the Bluegrass program?
Well, it's kind of a debatable subject that's ongoing. You know, how do you actually give a grade to students, especially when we have all levels of students, you know, and some of the students, you know, from the beginning, they're never going to be able to play as well as Ainsley Porchak on the fiddle.
Absolutely.
But you grade her at her, you know, the criteria for grading students is pretty much standard. You know, they have to show improvement. They have to show that they have practiced their... you know, they get marks each week for having done their homework, you know, practiced up the songs that they've been giving in their individual instruction lessons. They have to behave themselves. They have to have contributed to, at some level, to the arrangements of the songs. And, you know, I think the criteria upon which they're given grades and given marks is standard, but it works out to be different for each student, if you can understand that.
I sort of can, you know, I'm sort of thinking of all the musicians I know and all the situations in which we play, and I'm thinking, so do you say that was a great break in I Wonder Where You Are Tonight, so we'll give them a good mark for it, or do you take into the fact that they stuffed up the backup and had to re-record it three times, or they're all difficult things to assess.
Yes, but you're not assessing, you're not giving a bachelor's degree kind of based on one song, you know.
No.
It's the overall work that they put into the to their playing and the contribution to the band and all that sort of thing.
There's a
lot of classes involved with getting a bluegrass degree, and they take history classes,
right?
And they take setup of instruments and instrument repair classes, and they take recording lab classes where they actually learn the basics of sound, and how to set up a PA and break down a PA. I mean, there's a lot to it.
Yes.
So when it's all put together, you know, there's a lot of areas where they can excel in one area where maybe another student will excel more in another area.
But you want to turn them out of there being useful to the musical world.
Yeah, and generally they are, you know, and the part of that is in that particular 4 years of a student's schooling, they mature quite a lot at that particular age.
Yes.
And you see that maturation process going on, you know, in that particular 4 years of their lives.
There's another tune on here that I just love. It's got to be one of the most favourite tunes of most people, Wayfaring Stranger, which is just a great tune, and you looks like you've got a great version on here with someone called Angel Edgman doing lead vocals.
Yes.
Perfect. Great name.
Yeah, great
and,
name for that. Yeah.
And an Isaac Maynor.
Isaac Maynor is the great nephew of J.E. Maynor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
God, that's a hereditary thing, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of heritage and a lot of history around that particular area of East Tennessee, and we often get people come in who've got recognisable names, and you say, oh, were you related to this person that recorded? Like, there's a girl in one of the classes at the moment called Courtney Harris, and she's related to... A lot of people wouldn't have heard of him, but J.E. Harris was one of the first old-time fiddle players in East Tennessee.
Wow.
And so she's related to him and has been brought up in a home and a church where they've always sung gospel music, you know. It's just that heritage is very deep in within the students themselves, and they bring that to the program and contribute that.
Well, that's great. Well, let's listen to Wayfaring Stranger. You're playing fiddle two, and mm-hmm. Ainsley Porchak is playing fiddle one, and this mm-hmm. tune will sound great with twin fiddles. I really love the twin fiddle sound. And, well, let's hear it. Just lovely. Really enjoyed hearing that. It's such a good tune. You went over there as what we consider to be an absolutely wonderful fiddle player. So having to teach fiddle challenge you in your fiddle playing, or did you have to dig deeper into your fiddle playing to find out what you could teach people? How did you go about it?
It's a good question. I think part of the reason I wanted to take part in this course initially was, you know, I taught fiddle for so many years back here in New Zealand, and felt that I was kind of pretty much doing my own thing, teaching over there, teaching here. So I felt to go over and sit under a teacher for a while over there, I'd learn, end up with a bit more knowledge, credibility maybe, and authority in what I was saying to the students once I came back here to teach again, you know. And I'd always, you'd be the one to, you had been the one to collect all the recordings, and I benefited from that, you know, and that you introduced me to Kenny Baker fiddle. And didn't realise until I got over there how influential he was, you know, to fiddle music in the bluegrass field. And also others like Bobby Hicks and yes. Hunter Berry.
Yes.
Are highly considered influential fiddle players in that region of the United States, but all over really. And just as much as banjo players have listened to Earl Scruggs, you know, fiddle players have listened to Kenny Baker and Bobby Hicks and now Hunter Berry.
Way back in the 1960s and 70s, when you were learning bluegrass fiddle and doing a fine job of it, because you had an ear that was attuned to picking up notes off the records, we'd play the records and you could hear the notes and play them. Is that how students are learning the music today? Do they sit at the CD or the record and go through it bit by bit and work it out, or do you tend to buy a book where the music's already written out?
No, these days the students have their phones on them all the time, and hardly ever see them walking around the campus without earplugs in their ears listening to music. And so they're just absorbing it all the time.
Yes.
You know, once I got over there and realised how influential Kenny Baker was playing with Munro, he probably played with Munro more than any other fiddle player. And then I thought it was important that, and I've talked to several of the other faculty, you know, I felt it was important that we get the students to this, by the end of their 4 years there, that they should know a lot of Kenny Baker fiddle tunes, you know, that's part of what we should be teaching them. That's just in fiddle music, let alone the other instruments.
Well, I'd go along with that,
and Bobby Hicks as well. And we have one advantage, we have had one advantage with Bobby Hicks, is that he's still around.
Yes.
And he's ageing noticeably now, but he still runs a, as far as I know actually, maybe things have changed over the last few months, but he still runs a jam session every Thursday night.
Wow.
About 40 minutes from Johnson City, where I've been living.
Yes.
So he's been accessible and very welcoming when people come along to those jam sessions and
great.
Invite them up to join in and play with them. And
oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, listeners to Back Porch Bluegrass are no stranger to Kenny Baker, because he's one of my go-to fiddle players when I feel like I need an instrumental. But you've got a track here from the album Grassy Fiddle Blues, recorded in 1974, and I remember listening to this album. I don't think we ever learned Grassy Fiddle Blues or Flopperino. They were, I think, my favourite tunes, but there were things on here that we learned. And so pick a tune and we'll play it, but tell us about the tune.
All right, well, I actually have learnt Grassy Fiddle Blues, and I've learnt most of the tunes on that CD now. And but one of my favourites to play is Ducks on the Mill Pond.
Yeah.
And so maybe we could play that.
Oh, let's hear Kenny Baker, Ducks on the Mill Pond. And it's Kenny Baker on fiddle, Bob Black on banjo, Joe Stewart on guitar. Remember Joe Stewart? Mm-hmm. Real nice guy. Ralph Lewis on mandolin and Randy Davis on bass. And they sound like this. That's a great tune, listening to Kenny Baker. And so you went there and you examined all the intricacies of the fiddle playing. Did you write it down in music notation so you could teach?
No, but I do have a fantastic book. It's almost like my Kenny Baker Bible. It's transcriptions of quite a few, maybe 15, 16 of his tunes. And I've really drawn from that book a lot. I had one student in particular who was an older guy and came to me because he wanted to learn the Kenny Baker fiddle style. And I probably have taught him for about 6 years.
Wow.
He was not doing a university degree. He was coming for lessons. And he and I would analyse the tunes, analyse the little phrases, the chord structures, and like it was, I learned as much as he did, you know. we just sat and talked Kenny Baker, and I drew from that book. But with most students, the ones who can read music, it's helpful to them.
Yes.
If I print off the music for them.
Yes.
Just photocopy from the book.
Right.
Yeah. The ones who can't, of course, then it's just a matter of teaching phrase by phrase.
Yes.
Yeah, doing it the old-fashioned way, two people sitting knee to knee.
Yes, knee to knee fiddle playing. Yes, that's really the best way to learn banjo, and in fact mandolin and that as well.
Mm.
You mentioned Hunter Berry before. It's probably just about time we finished up this discussion. Mm-hmm. It's been great having you in here, but tell us a little bit about this album from Hunter Berry, and we'll find a tune on that we can finish up this segment of the show with.
Yeah. I haven't learnt that many tunes off this particular album, but it's an album called Wow Baby, and it just demonstrates a whole range of his styles of fiddle playing, from swing to old time gospel. And he's a local boy really, but he's now a fiddle player for Rhonda Vincent. He also teaches at ETSU.
Oh,
he's,
wow.
He's a fiddle player and teaches bands as well. Really gets on well with the students, and is a fiery fiddle player. Some may say that his bowing is a real mess, but
who's going to tell him that?
yeah. But he's got such feel for the music; it's just ingrained in him.
Yeah. So. Okay. Well, what's a tune off this album from Hunterberry that we can play?
Well, let's get him doing one from his heritage, Ragtime Annie.
Ragtime Annie it will be. Thanks very much for coming on the show, Colleen.
Well,
I really appreciate
pleasure.
It.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
If we could do it again sometime, we'll do it.
We will.
Here comes Hunterberry, Ragtime Annie. Great having Colleen in the studio with us and being able to talk to her about her experiences at East Tennessee State University as a lecturer in bluegrass fiddle. Not many people we can talk to about doing that sort of work. Thanks very much for listening to Back Porch Bluegrass. I hope you've enjoyed it. Tune in again, however you're doing it, on podcast or on your local radio station. And we'll take it out with Hamilton County Bluegrass Band and Colleen Trendworth playing a great old fiddle tune called Sally Gooden. We'll see you later.